there is no difference between religious and non-religious. At the center, everything becomes one. In that silence, one is neither religious nor anti-religious, because those are the terms of the reason. In that silence, one's love is neither prayer, neither art. Everything has become one. That silence is meditation. When people come to me, if I see them, they are in their heads, then I help them to be related, to move, to fall in love, to become a little foolish, so that they come down from their heads, so that they get down from the throne of the ego a little bit, because one has to surrender in love. One cannot carry the ego. If one carries, love is not possible. If I see that they have lived, they have loved, they have experienced what love is, then I tell them to fall still deeper into meditation. It is the last fall, because there is no more any abyss deeper than meditation. If you are head-oriented, move into prayer, love. But don't make it a goal, it is not the goal. That's why Christianity, Mohammedanism, don't reach to the height of Buddhism. No. They remain with the second layer. For the third layer, something like Buddha, something like Lao Tzu is needed. They remain better than ordinary worldly people, but still not absolutely otherworldly. They remain in the middle. Good as far as it goes, but not enough. If you cannot love, pray. If you have loved and known what it is, then move into aloneness. There are two sorts of aloneness. One is loneliness, another is aloneness. If you have not loved and you move into solitariness, it will be loneliness. You will feel a deep hunger for the other. It will not be aloneness. The other will be there as absence. You will continuously feel the absence of the other. You will hanker. Maybe that's why people who have not loved well, they start talking to God, to an imaginary phenomenon, to fill their loneliness, to be occupied with someone. It is a fantasy. It is a dream. Good, religious, but it's still a dream. One has to go beyond all dreaming. One has to go to the point when one is so enough that the other is not needed. I am not saying that that type of person will not love. In fact, only that type of person can love. But then he loves out of abundance. Then it is not a need. On the contrary, he is so full, flooded, that he would like to share. Then he is in search of people who would like to unburden, who would help him to unburden his heart. The greatest lover is one whose need for love has disappeared. Otherwise, there are small lovers for whom love is just like a need as food. They cannot be without food, and they cannot be without a woman or without a man. But when you can be without, and you can be without as beautiful as you are with, then the greatest phenomena happens. Out of silence, if a dialogue starts, it is the greatest dialogue.
This final selection from Osho's talks on meditation, he clarifies a problem that arises for many people when they first begin to meditate. The questioner asks, "Please explain how I can meditate over something without using my mind."
Meditation has nothing to do with mind. Meditation simply means a state of no mind. The functioning of the mind is the only disturbance in meditation. If you are trying to achieve meditation through mind, you are bound to fail, doomed to fail. You are trying to achieve the impossible. A Zen initiate was meditating for years, and whenever he will come to his master, whatsoever experience he will bring to the master will simply reject it, that it is all nonsense. You go back and meditate again. One day the master came to the hut of the disciple. He was sitting in a Buddha posture. The master shook him and told him, "What are you doing here? If we need stone Buddhas, we have many in the temple. Just by sitting like a stone Buddha, you will not attain to meditation." Do what I have been telling you to do. Just by stilling the body, your mind is not going to disappear, because it is through the mind that you are enforcing a certain discipline on the body. Anything done by the mind is going to strengthen the mind. It is a nourishment for the mind. A year passed. The master came again. The disciple was sitting almost in a kind of euphoria, enjoying the morning breeze and the sun with closed eyes, thinking that he is meditating. The master took a brick and started rubbing in front of the disciple on the stone. It was such a disturbance that finally the disciple had to shout, "What are you doing? Are you trying to drive me crazy?" The master said, "I am trying to make a mirror out of this brick. If one goes on rubbing enough, I think it will become a mirror." The disciple laughed. He said, "I had always suspected that you are a little mad. Now it is proved. The brick can never become a mirror. You can go on rubbing it on the stone for lives together. The brick will remain a brick." The master said, "That shows some intelligence. Then what are you doing? For years you have been trying to make meditation out of the mind. It is like trying to make a mirror out of a brick." And the master threw the brick in the pond by the side the disciple was sitting under the tree. The brick made a great splash in the pond, and the very sound of it was enough to do the miracle. Something awakened in the disciple. A sleep was broken. A dream was shattered. He became alert. For the first time he tasted something of meditation. And the master immediately said, "This is it." It happened almost unawares. The disciple was taken unawares. He was not waiting this to happen, that the master will suddenly throw the brick into the pond and the splash. Basso has a beautiful haiku, "The ancient pond, the frog jumps in. The sound." That's all. The sound can awake you. Meditation is not a question of effort, because all effort is going to be through the mind, of the mind, by the mind. How it can take you beyond the mind? You will go round and round in the mind. You have to wake up. Mind is asleep. Mind is a constant process of dreaming, desiring, thoughts, memories. You ask me, "Please explain how I can meditate over something without using my mind. Can't you see something just by your eyes? Can't you watch something without bringing your mind in?" The birds chirping, this silence. What is the need of the mind? It is a question of watchfulness. But it is not only your problem. It is the problem of millions of people who become interested in meditation all over the world. they all misunderstand concentration for meditation. Concentration is something of the mind. It is being taught in the schools, colleges, universities. It has its uses. I am not saying it is useless. It is focusing on a certain object. In science, it is needed. You have to focus your mind on a particular object totally, so that you can observe deeply. You have to exclude everything else. You have to bracket out everything else. You have to narrow down your consciousness. Almost you have to make a pinpoint of it. That's the scientific way as far as the objective world is concerned. But as far as the subjective world is concerned, it is of no help, not at all. There, you are not to focus your mind on anything, on the idea of God, or on some inner light, flame, love, compassion. You are not to concentrate at all. You have to be simply aware of all that is. The man of concentration can be distracted easily. Anything can become a distraction because he is trying to do something unnatural. Just a child crying and he will be distracted. The traffic noise and he will be distracted. An aeroplane passing by and he will be distracted. A dog starts barking and he will be distracted. Anything can distract him. And of course, when he will be distracted, he will feel miserable, frustrated. He has failed again. The man of meditation cannot be distracted for the simple reason because he is not concentrating in the first place. Existence is not linear. It is simultaneous. For example, I am speaking here. The birds are chirping. The traffic noise is there. The train is passing by. All these things are happening together. You have to be simply silent, watchful, witnessing all that is. No need to exclude anything, because the excluded thing will try to distract you. If nothing is excluded, if your awareness is all inclusive, then what can distract you? Can this bird distract you? In fact, it will enhance your silence. Nothing can distract, because you are not in a tense state. Concentration is tension. Hence the word attention. It is made of the same root, tension. Awareness is not attention. Awareness is relaxation. It is rest. So rest silently. Thoughts will pass. There is no need to be worried. What they can do? Desires will come and go. Watch them coming and going. Don't have any evaluation. Don't say this is good, this is bad. Don't say that, aha, this is something great, spiritual, far out. Some sensation in their spine, maybe just an ant crawling up, and you start feeling kundalini is rising, or just imagination. Or you see some light inside, which is not difficult. You can see light, you can see colors, psychedelic colors. You can experience beautiful things. But it is all imagination. Howsoever colorful and howsoever beautiful, don't start saying this is good, that Jesus is standing in front of you, or Krishna, or Buddha, and you start feeling, now you are coming closer and closer to the ultimate realization. Buddha says, if you meet me on the way, kill me immediately. He means that if I come in your meditation, don't start feeling very good about it. Because if you start feeling good about it, you will start clinging to the idea. And it is only an idea. Just watch it with no preference, with no choice. If you can be choicelessly aware of everything outside and inside, meditation will happen one day. It is nothing that you have to do. You can do only one thing, and that is learn the art of watching. Watching without any judgment. Then simply one day you relax. And in that total relaxation, there is pure awareness. All thoughts disappear, all desires disappear, the mind is found no more. When mind is not found, this is meditation. A state of no mind is meditation. So you have been misunderstanding me. When I say meditate, I mean watch. If I say meditate on the songs of the birds, I'm simply saying watch. I'm not saying concentrate. I'm against concentration. And because I'm for watchfulness, you can watch anything. You can sit in the marketplace and watch people, and that will be meditation. You can sit on the railway station and you can watch all kinds of noises. The trains coming and the passengers getting down and the coolies shouting and the vendors. And then the train goes away and a silence falls over the station. You simply watch. You don't do anything. And slowly, slowly, you start relaxing. Your tensions disappear. Then insight opens up, like a bud opening and becoming a flower. Great fragrance is released. In that silence is truth, is bliss, is benediction. Thank you.